The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. So, welcome to our stormy President's Day here. And I kind of like it that it's a smaller group. We can feel more connected. And which feeling connected is a nice thing because of the topic that I want to talk about, which is metta, or loving kindness. And the idea of talking about kindness, the word metta is a cognate to the Pali word for friend, mitta. Loving kindness is metta, and friend is mitta. And so the idea of being friendly, but it's a particular way of being friendly, a particular way of being kind, that is championed in Buddhism. It's kind of like one of the primary virtues, social virtues, that Buddhists want to develop, cultivate, especially in our Theravadan tradition. So what I thought a little bit, I'd like to do it, not give a traditional talk today, but rather to somehow talk a little bit, but do a little bit in questions and answers with you and see what comes out. Me asking you questions rather than me answering. So imagine that you're on the bus or on the train, and the front of the bus is kind of full. There's no more seats, but there's a few seats in the back of the bus. And the bus stops to pick someone up who's in crutches and has some, looks like they're pretty injured, maybe a broken leg, and have trouble with the crutches and the broken leg getting up on the bus. Clearly, it seems that's painful for the person. And so then you, but you're sitting right in the front of the bus. So the person kind of somehow manages to hobble up and stand next to you, but it seems like the bus starts driving off and the person's unsteady. So you just stand up and walk to the back of the bus. Take a seat that's available down there so the person can have your seat. Why? Why would you do that? You have a perfectly good seat, you have a good view of the difficult part of climbing into the bus has already been done with the crutches, so the person now is on the bus. So why would you get up and offer your seat to someone like that? So could you pass the phone? And it would be nice if you would say your name before you speak. A small group, again, the sense of being connected and know each other would be nice.
I'm Drew, and I would appreciate it if somebody did that for me if I was on crutches.
Mm.
Because they're at a disadvantage, and it would be much easier for me to move to the back than them, to make it easier for them.
So you have an advantage. You're sprite and
right.
Capable,
yeah.
And
yes.
So you could just it's easier for you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So but I think there's another couple of steps needed in that leads up to why you would then move. Just because it's easy for you and not for them?
Well, and because they're struggling, mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be an offering for them.
Mm, so an offering to them who's struggling. Mm-hmm. Okay, nice. There's two mics, so if some of you have want to raise your hand to get the mic while the other one is speaking, that's an option.
I'm Trudy, and when I see something like that, my heart says something. I feel something in my heart.
Uh-huh. And what is that?
I need to move and let them have my seat.
Sorry?
I need to move and let them have my seat.
Oh. So I'm sitting there and I feel really uncomfortable with a person standing there towering over me. And the person's really struggling, and I just, like, it's so yucky feeling to have this person struggle. And I think I need to get away from my yucky feeling. So I'm going to move to the back of the bus. and then the person's going to sit down, and I know that person's going to feel more comfortable, so I'm not going to be so distressed. What do you think of that? You want to try again to explain what you're, it's going on in your heart?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't feel like what you just described. I promise.
Good.
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, what is it?
Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like.
So out of compassion, you'd move.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. Please.
I'm Kate. I was going to say compassion, just a feeling of wanting to help and love and caring for that person and wanting it to be easier for them.
Uh-huh, nice. In the back there? Yeah.
So for me, my heart would see their need, and by giving up my seat, it actually gives more to me than it does to that person.
Oh.
There's a beautiful feeling of a gift that I can give them that would just open my heart to them and make me feel so fantastic to have that shared gift that I'm giving the seat, but the person is giving me a sense of joy and happiness that I could do this for them.
Oh, so you walk to the back of the bus where there's a seat for you and you sit down, you're contented or happy.
And I'm very much happier than I was before the person got on the bus.
And what if the person was kind of like so struggling so much that you saw them coming up and kind of saw they're going to need a seat, and they can't quite, you know, they hadn't seen you at all. They didn't even know the problem was there with the seats. And so before the person could even see there was a problem, you moved to the back. And then they came in, oh, there's an empty seat, how nice. But they didn't know anybody did anything or got up, it was just an empty seat. Yeah. Would you feel just as happy?
I would.
Oh.
But I do like that connection of here's my gift to you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Is a wonderful gift.
Now, what if the people around you on the bus kind of saw what you did, and you know they're not so inclined to help some poor person like that? I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of, you know, so they're kind of, everybody else on the bus goes.
Yeah. So you know that brings up a really good point, because there's this whole sense of self-righteousness looking good in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's that view.
I'm Leticia.
Yeah, that's good.
Actually, I would help the person get on the bus.
No, you would have even gone earlier and helped, not just simply move your seat.
Yeah, it's just my nature to go out and see them, mostly just out of continuum. People's helped me in the past. It's just, it seems to me like it's a natural thing to do.
Oh, so people help you help them. It's like we're all kind of in it together,
it's
and we support each. We support each other, chain of support. Very nice. Thank you. No, but there are people who have hearing, who don't hear, and they have hearing assistive devices.
I understand. I ask a question here, and I am not trying to be cheeky at all. I'm just wondering, and perhaps there's a lapse in my thought in asking this question. And then pretending to, why would you not give up your seat to an able-bodied person?
Okay, why not? Yeah. So Trudy just had hip surgery, right? Wasn't it hip surgery you had?
Femur
surgery, and she was hobbling around quite nicely here. She's a little bit older than you, and you walk up on the bus, and she sees that you're coming up on the bus. She says, "Oh, I bet it'd be good. I'll get up for him, and go to the back of the bus." Why, you know, is that? How would you feel?
But
with that. Sorry, I would insist that you wouldn't. With that said, that had happened to me. I got onto the bus with a bag of groceries, and there was somebody who was advanced age, and that person actually offered their seat to me.
Nice, very nice.
But I, of course, said no.
Great. Your question is quite good. I actually appreciate your question quite a bit because it's kind of, maybe we'll get back to it this evening, but the whole idea of being generous, being caring, being kind, it's not necessarily compassionate for someone to move for you. You look, you're pretty capable and fit, and going to the back of the bus is easy enough. But the idea that not out of compassion, but out of basic kindness, support, kind of sense of connectedness, it expresses something very nice. So it might be worth looking, I think it's worth looking at a little bit.
My name's Julia. Is that better?
Yeah.
I would have done it without any thought, but listening to our conversation, are we doing it for ourselves? Is my question. Am I doing this because it makes me feel good and I'm really not considering the other person? Mm. That's what came up, so I don't know.
Oh, just very good. So the person who, one of the first people who was very clear about how good she felt about it was Elaine. So, Elaine, can you answer that question? Are you simply doing it for yourself?
So, for me, it's a mutual benefit. I mean, yes, I'm doing it to help this other person, but there's a gift that that person gives to me. So it doesn't feel selfish. But the point that Gil brought up about, oh, look at me, aren't I so wonderful? I'm so much better than the rest of you around here who didn't give up your seat. That's a real concern for me.
We lost you.
Maybe the battery is low on that one.
Can you get the other mic?
So, that's a real concern, but, you know, how do you guard against that and how do you deal with that? And for me, it's just about awareness. You know, oh, look, this is going on, you know.
Great. Very nice. What do you think of that answer?
Interesting. You know, we do things and we don't think about it, you know, and I think part of the teachings that I'm learning is to be more aware of the
present. Right.
Not knowing what I'm doing, why I'm doing it.
Great. Perfect. Yeah. That's what mindfulness is a lot about.
Yeah.
And one of the consequences of that, as we pay more attention to what's going on for us and with our connection to the environment and others, is our social instincts are triggered more often. And there's many social instincts, but if we're relaxed and at ease, then the more likely social instincts are ones of generosity and care for others. If we're stressed out and angry, the social instincts are, you know, sometimes different. So not only do we want to be mindful, but the idea is also to be mindful in such a way that we can touch into some of the deeper, beautiful social instincts we have. And then what Elaine said, that as we have these instincts or these forces inside of us, social kind of connectedness forces that we have, and they can operate pretty instinctively or pretty naturally for us. But one of the very peculiar things about it is that some of them both can be supportive of others and can make us feel better. So why is that? Why is it that doing things that support others out of compassion or kindness makes us feel better? Any ideas? That one's ready now?
I think so.
Okay.
Is it working?
Yeah.
Does it sound good?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yes, we have two, so raise your hand if you want to get one while this one's passed.
So I wanted to go. My name is Phil.
Oh, you're ready to go.
So, So the question is,
why do you think we can feel better inside or for ourselves if we're compassionate or kind to others?
Right. So my answer to the original question, I think, is the same, which is, not working?
Yeah.
Maybe. Sounds like it's working. Which is that? My original answer.
Turn the volume up, teeny bit.
Was going to be. Did I get the right one?
That's good.
Yes.
Which was going to be that. It just feels better to be in a world where people get up and give other people a seat. So it feels sort of right, and so I feel. I just feel like part, of the world. And so it just feels better to, it just feels like, as a part of the world, the world feels better.
Right? Well, very nice, very nice.
Like, so all of me feels better if my hand feels better. Uh-huh. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. Nice. So it's not only maybe supporting the individual, but it's helping support all of us by creating a society that just feels better to live in because we care for each other. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar, that the way that we feel is, or the way that I feel is very dependent on my environment, what's around me. So I know that by giving happiness to someone else, that's affecting my own state of mind in the same way that cleaning my room helps my state of mind.
Great, very nice. It's right behind you. Jim, if you can maybe...
My name is Ed, and this may be a little bit analytical, but it seems the presence of the person who has a greater need standing there would make more salient for me my own grasping or holding on to the seat, and making the seat that I'm sitting on mine and contracting around that notion of wanting to keep a hold of it. And if I can release that grasping and step away from it, there's a sense of openness and relaxing and spaciousness that comes with that release.
I've been waiting all week to get on that bus and get that particular seat with that view, and I'm not going to give it up for anyone. This is really mine.
Hello, my name is Taylor, and to answer your question about why we feel better or why we feel good when we do these things, I basically would just say evolution, actually.
Evolution?
Yes, that we were bred to be social animals and that there are intrinsic rewards for sharing and that sharing is a very natural instinct for us and that we feel very good as human beings when we do that.
Yeah, they say that with acts of compassion, a pure compassion, meaning they're not complicated by distress and other things, that it seems to produce oxytocin in us. And that makes us feel good. So that evolutionarily, there's some biological basis for this. Yeah, yes, please.
So my name is Wynne. So when we actually offer the sit, we feel good. But I'm just thinking that if I don't do it, I feel bad and guilty. Ah. And when I go back home, I'll be like, oh, I should have done this, and I haven't done it. And it will probably make me think for a couple of days.
Ah, nice. So that's another reason. It's like a little bit like Ed, that it just feels bad. Ed was bad in the moment. It just feels bad to be clinging to that seat. For you, it's the feeling afterwards of regret, or that you might feel. And so part of the motivation to act on the instinct or the desire to help someone, the fuel for it might be that to avoid feeling bad yourself. I think that drives a lot of it for people.
My name is William. I think that humanity is all connected with each other. And so whatever we do for someone else, we do for all of us.
And for ourselves also.
Yeah.
That way, nice.
For ourselves.
Nice. So no one so far has mentioned this very important reason why I might want to get up and move to the back of the seat and help the person who needs help. And that is, it might be that I'll get applauded by all the other people on the bus. Why didn't anyone think of that? Are you just, it was just so obvious that it didn't need to be said, or? If the bus is empty, why help anyone, right? So, but it was a serious, yeah, go ahead.
This is from a different perspective. I grew up in India, and something I noticed growing up was that it's a really populated country with public transport constantly overburdened by everything. So you'll have like five people sitting in a seat designed for three. And I feel that when I came here, this was about 10, 11 years ago when I moved to US, this struck me very weirdly that people don't leave their seats for someone or they don't accommodate someone. And I think that it plays into both the ideas about like what he was talking about, grasping the seat and saying that this is my seat, I paid money for this thing. And second is less connectedness in the society in that way. I feel that I agree that the world becomes a better place and more connected place when we do this thing for someone. And it's also a paid forward system where you can hopefully expect it to happen for you in the future.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I kind of want to help the person. And, you know, it seems like a nice thing to do, a simple thing to do to move back. But I don't know who else is sitting back there. It might be the wrong people. It might be dangerous back there, and I'm safe up here. So I don't know if I can move. No? So fear can interrupt, can interfere with our kindness and compassion. So, and it's kind of, I don't know what word to use. I wanted to use the word pure, in the purest form of basic human kindness. What does it look like now? After hearing all this, we've heard many different things, but someone would like to offer some perspectives. What does basic human kindness look like? What is it? What is it not?
I think the question is more, what does it feel like?
You're welcome to answer that question too, but go ahead. What does it feel like?
Yeah, it feels like a connection.
Uh-huh.
And if I catch the person's eye and we gaze at each other, there's a feeling of oneness. And It's a very pure experience.
Nice, very nice. Behind you. Name?
Morgan. Thank you. Being present is basic human kindness to me. Being present. I was going to say being a witness for somebody, but I don't even think that's that. It's just being present.
So they feel like you're present for them.
My name is V. I feel like basic human kindness is wishing well-being for everyone, including someone that you have challenges with.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I do loving kindness with someone I have challenges with, that's kind of where it was difficult initially.
Uh-huh.
But wishing well for just their well-being, their safety, is for me that basic human kindness.
That's very nice. It's close to the classic kind of definition of loving kindness. But what makes that wishing someone well, the goodwill for someone, what makes it pure?
I guess the purity of it is that we're all connected, and that as I wish for them well, it's really for me as well.
Great, thank you.
For myself, I think it makes it...
When you use the mic, it's just a little part of the art of using a mic. You want to hear yourself on the speakers. So if you go like so close enough so that you kind of hear a little bit your voice, then everyone can hear you.
Thank you. Better? Yeah. Is the lack of expecting anything in return. I work in the field where I'm always helping somebody else. But there is a difference when you're doing something for somebody because there is a need, as opposed to when you do it because you want to get them out of trouble or get them, rescue them. It's a complete difference. It's very subtle sometimes, like helping somebody, for example, giving somebody a ride. It's not always the best thing, because what if that's the only exercise that person gets that time? So you're interrupting the chain of their well-being. So it's being aware whether you're really just giving a helping hand without interruption of their development.
So some people need,
And not doing it for my satisfaction of being the rescuer.
That's nice. So not doing it for yourself, and not doing it in ignorant of the consequences. So you would want to be careful of the consequences, because it might look like a kind thing to do, but it might actually prevent them from a lesson or a development that they need. Okay, very good.
I'm Catherine. For me, I think it's just an involuntary movement of the heart. And the next thing you know, I'm holding the door for the person. Or it's just kind of...
So it feels quite natural and easy and without any self-consciousness?
Most of the time. Sometimes I do decide, oh, this person needs help, but I'm rushing to an appointment. Can I help them?
Do you have time for it,
Do I have time, really? It seems like it's going to take longer than I have. Maybe I could do this.
Yes, I'll ask last one, and then I want to do something else.
Ed, again, to answer your question about purity of kindness, I would say it's unself-interested and unself-conscious, which means it's often spontaneous.
Often spontaneous. So there is this idea that there can be kindness offered to someone in a very simple example, maybe it's like the thing on the bus, where you would get up and you would do it. Let's take a seat in the back. There wouldn't be any self-conscious consideration. It seems almost like a natural thing to do. Seems like it's helped this person. They sit down. You're not looking for to be applauded by anyone. You don't really care what the people think exactly around you. And you do it, and you sit down. It feels good to do. But, within a few minutes, you've forgotten it. Because, not only forgotten it, but it's no longer on your mind. There's no, it hasn't stuck in you. It isn't like you're looking for praise. It isn't like you're looking to feel good and hold on to it. It's just a simple, ordinary thing to do. Maybe the person who you gave the seat to didn't even notice it was you. But it just was, it felt, of course you would do that. It's easy and nice and kind of a purity or a simplicity or a cleanliness to it that just there definitely was a kind act to do, but it had nothing sticky, nothing extra to it. So I don't know if that example is the best example of something like that, but something very simple and very ordinary. That clean, like, is it possible to have the same pure or clean act of kindness for things that are a big deal? And someone said, V said, is it possible to do for someone you're having a really hard time with? It's a difficult person. If the person who came up on the bus was your arch enemy, who's done something horrible to you in your life, and they come up and, can it be that clean and easy? Just, oh, of course, natural, What would it? So the question in Buddhism is that, or the issue of Buddhism puts a tremendous emphasis on the value of this kindness. And so like the basic base social way, social virtue for how to be in our society and connect to other people. And Buddhism recognizes that it's something that can be done simply, ordinarily, unselfconsciously, in a way that supports our community, supports others, makes us feel good in doing it. All these things are true. And then the idea is it doesn't have to stop there. That we can learn and stretch ourselves and learn what it takes to be able to have the same kindness to in greater and greater circles of situations. Not just places where it's just so obvious the person comes up the bus with their, you know, their crutches, and but in places where it doesn't seem obvious, in places where you know, the person is you know, walking down the street, and you see the person who wants to get the bus. You're in your car, going off, driving off someplace. And the person is going slowly down the street because they're on their crutches, and but the bus doesn't see them because they didn't reach the bus stop, so the bus kept going. And it looks like it's going to rain. So you think, occurs to you, but I have a car. The person wants to go somewhere. Maybe I can give them a ride. They seem to be going the same direction as me. That's a much bigger deal than just giving a chair. I mean, you're bringing them into your personal life, your car. I mean, that's like sacred in America. And you know, then you have a personal connection. I mean, you know, then like on the bus you can step aside and have to give a chair, and there's no personal relationship that's really needed. You're safe in some ways, but you invite them into your car, and you might get late for something else you had planned. But the person's struggling. So in what way could that be, even though it requires some sacrifice on your part perhaps, could that be also be done in the same pure, clear way? So nice thing that Ed said, I think, was Ed talked about how, you know, holding on to the chair, you know, it's the seat, not giving up my seat, it feels bad. It doesn't feel good to be that way. And I think one of the important motivations for coming to kindness, not necessarily a motivation to be kind, but coming to kindness, is the ability to recognize how it feels to be greedy, selfish, fearful, hateful, and how limiting that is for us. And to want to kind of overcome that, not be stuck in those states. So if you're in your car and the person's on the sidewalk in the crutches and needs a ride, and you feel afraid, and that limits you, maybe the fear can be worked with and explored. If you're greedy because you're going off someplace to a very fancy restaurant, and if you're first in line, you get the best cut of tofu, then does it feel good to have, greed? So, keeps you. And so you kind of sit and mindful, you look at it and say, this hurts to be greedy. So the mindfulness has a lot to do with recognizing what we're doing to ourselves and learning to, not live in a way where we're harming ourselves. And that's part of the big lesson of mindfulness, which you should be warned about if you start. Maybe all of you started. And that is, if you're mindful, you'll start discovering how you're harming yourself. You're harming yourself when you spend a lot of time being angry, greedy, caught up in anxiety, a variety of ways in which we actually are hurting ourselves. That's the sources of stress and suffering. And so to overcome that, to let go of that, creates the conditions by which kindness has a simple, pure kindness has a better chance to operate. And then, and the task in Buddhism, in the teachings of loving kindness, is to not just stop in the simple acts, the obvious acts, not just with people who it's easy to do, the people you feel close to, but to stretch yourself and or open yourself up so that movement of kindness can be kind of how you go through the world. Wise kindness, so it's wise, you're doing it appropriately, safely, generously, And the question is it worth it? Is it worth going through the world where kindness is the predominant motivation for what you're interested in doing in the world? Is it worth for you to spend your time being motivated to live in a world where you're kind in many, many circumstances? Or, you know, do you have more important things to do? You have important things to accomplish, or to get, or to shop, or all kinds of things. So what I'd like to do is to leave you with a challenge of reflection where you kind of consider what could be more important than living in the world in a kind way? What could be so important that you would not live in the world in a kind way? There are many important things we can do. We don't have to give up the important things that we do. But why would we do anything without kindness close at hand? Why would we sacrifice our kindness in the strong pursuit of things, such a strong pursuit of other things, that we're not willing, not interested, we don't pay attention, we don't have the wherewithal to be kind? So the idea in Buddhism is to develop this capacity for kindness, sometimes called loving kindness, sometimes called metta. And it's a fantastic thing to do. It's a training that people undertake. There's a tremendous amount of self-understanding, self-learning that goes on when we start putting kindness in the forefront. And one of the things we learn is all the times when you don't feel like being kind, or worse. And then learning to pay attention to that, to getting to the bottom of that, understanding ourselves better and better, is one of the important part of this path to liberation that mindfulness is part of. And so having the motivation to be kind on the forefront helps to, it's like a mirror that you see yourself better and better. And as that mirror shines on you and you understand yourself better and you'll be able to let go of or dissolve some of the hindrances to kindness, then without those hindrances to kindness, you're probably much more likely, you're much more available or much more accessible for you to act kindly, to be kind, to be in the world in a kind way. And then the secret, the open secret of all this, is that turns out that living a kind life makes for a very happy life. It just, like, it's a much, much more happier way to live. This kind of pure kindness. And one of the reasons maybe you can get a sense of that is that for kindness to be pure, you have to be relaxed. It's hard to really be kind if we're not kind of at ease or relaxed. Stress or tension or greed or wanting and rushing interferes with this kindness. So it's unnecessary to always be this way. And then, you know, V talked about doing this kindness in all directions, and that includes for ourselves. So imagine, can you imagine that this kind of pure kindness where you just get up for a stranger on the bus and move to the back without any idea of praise, any idea of even being thanked, know, just doing it because it feels like the natural, easy, kind thing to do. Imagine that that instinct to act that way was also directed to yourself. What would that be like? Where you also treated yourself in that same way. Well, you know, why stop with friends, neighbors, strangers? Why not include yourself in that field of goodwill, of kindness? I think that to do so is to allow the heart to be at ease and to kind of operate or to act or radiate without limitation, without any restrictions to it. And if the restriction is towards yourself, it's still a restriction. And the goal in this, in the training in loving kindness, and Buddhism has trainings, has practices, meditation practices that they do to cultivate and develop loving kindness, And they're specifically set up to begin exploring how to have loving kindness in this all directions, to oneself, to the people it's easy to do it for the people who it's not, just wouldn't occur to you, but you know they're not difficult people, but they're called neutral people, and then to people who are difficult for you. In the classic language, they call it the enemy, but for whatever reason, the Western Dharma teachers prefer to call it difficult people. And so it's a great training to do, and it's a wonderful thing. So maybe one question before we stop, if you can use the mic. Can we have the mic? It's there.
Is it okay if it's not a question?
Yeah, but you still use the mic.
I've been sitting here wondering if I want to say this because I know that it's being recorded.
We can turn off the recording if you want.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's just a confession, okay, of sorts, which is the exact opposite of this experience is something that happened for me when I was traveling a few years ago, and I was in Bhutan. And in Bhutan, you ride, you have a bus, and you ride with a group of people. And there was a man who, we were together for 2 weeks, and he took upon himself to sit in the front seat each time. And the front seat was the best seat because you could see, you could hear the guide. And there was a careful instruction that we should move around and take turns, and everybody needed to move and not just sit in one good seat. And about the 10th day when he took this seat, and I was in the back of the bus for virtually the whole time thinking, you know, it's not that big a deal. It was very bumpy. It was hotter. It was not as nice. And I finally thought, and I'm wondering why I resolved this the way I did, and I felt okay about it, because it sounds like it's the wrong thing. But what I decided was, I got there on one of these last mornings, and his things were, they said, please don't leave your things on the bus and save seats, which he did. And he also said, he was very rude to people. He was very difficult throughout the trip, insulting. It was pretty bad. So when I got on the bus, I just moved his things and sat in his seat. Well, his seat. And when he came and got on the bus, he said, you're in my seat. And I said, well, actually, the seats belong to all of us, and I'm just sitting in this seat for one day. And he said, but that's my seat. And I said, no, I think we're supposed to share. And he was very upset. And so I sat in the seat and had a really good view, and I could hear the guide. And I actually did not feel badly because I felt that it was, my mother would have said that was selfish.
Yeah.
But it felt like, given the whole picture, that it was okay to make that choice. And I was very kind to him, but it broke all the rules of when you're, you know, I don't know if he was the enemy, but it solved the problem. I had much nicer feelings towards him the last 2 days. I don't know. We don't have to talk about it because it's late, but I felt I really wanted to confess because it's not giving up my seat, it was taking a seat. So there you go.
Huh?
And I'm Sue.
I could imagine. I mean, I don't know if you did this. Maybe you did this way. Maybe you had good instincts. But I can imagine that could have been a very compassionate, kind thing to do, given the bigger picture, that everyone had to live together for much longer on this bus trip, and this man needed to learn something and break out of his shell and his greed, and you did it kindly. I can imagine that it done with wisdom and care and attention, and it was just the right medicine. I can imagine. So
I
who
feel
knows?
Much better having told everyone.
Yeah. please, if you want to be happy, be kind. And if you want other people to be happy, be kind. If you want to be happy together, be kind, friendly, supportive of each other. It's a wonderful thing to do. Makes for a better world. Thank you.